Hello, everybody. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and my name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are always featuring the best stories of entrepreneurship and people who work with entrepreneurs. During this segment, we're being hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers in the Prudential Center of Boston, Mass., and my co-host is Mark Furman. Hi, Mark.
Jeffrey, great to be with you.
I haven't seen you in a long time, Mark.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too.
I don't know if you take this as a compliment or not. You look exactly the same. our guest today, Mark, is Nick Carter from Todd & Weld. Welcome back, Nick, an old friend of Radio Entrepreneurs.
Good morning, Jeffrey and Mark.
Nick, nice to see you.
Mark, we were communicating yesterday. Nick, we have a case that you recently experienced that you thought would be very interesting for our listeners,
yeah.
Correct?
Well, first of all, I'm a partner at Todd & Weld, which is a 40-attorney litigation firm in Boston. We do all kinds of litigation, virtually everything. And my practice is also very mixed, and I get involved in all kinds of things, which is fun and keeps it interesting. Sometimes I am involved in a case like the one I tried, which is a plaintiff's case, a job discrimination, employment discrimination case, and a defamation case. It was in federal court, and it was a two-week jury trial with a good result for the plaintiff. Basically, the plaintiff was a guy who's been in law enforcement for 30 or so years, the past 15, a very successful ATF agent. But his lifelong dream was to come back to Massachusetts and to become a police chief. He'd grown up in a law enforcement family. His father had nearly been a police chief. His brother was a police chief. And that was his dream. And so he began to apply for police chief jobs in Massachusetts and had pretty immediate success. There were several towns that where he was a finalist, and ultimately in one of the cities in Massachusetts, he was chosen by the mayor, which is essentially getting the job, and he deserved it. Before the final confirmation hearing, which is essentially a rubber stamp, an anonymous letter is sent to the mayor and to the city council from somebody from his hometown where his family had been in law enforcement. And his family had taken on police corruption, and so they had enemies. And this person who wrote the letter said they knew the family, and then disparaged the father and the brother and my client. Most of the allegations were completely false. There was a reference in the letter to a criminal charge in my client's early life as a law enforcement officer. He had not disclosed that criminal charge in the application process, and he didn't have to because he'd gone to trial and was acquitted. Under Massachusetts law, anyone who has been charged and cleared of a crime is protected from having to say anything about it to an employer in the application process. The mayor, upon learning of this charge, withdrew the nomination in violation of clear Massachusetts law, then made matters worse and went to the media and said, having first a week prior put this guy up on a pedestal saying how wonderful he was and he was going to be the next police chief, a week later says to the press after getting this anonymous letter, he hadn't been forthcoming about the criminal charge.
Hmm.
He didn't have to be.
Right.
And so after a two-week jury trial, the jury found that the city had violated this anti-discrimination law, and the mayor had defamed this individual and imposed a $1.5 million verdict. And because it's under the anti-discrimination statute, the client is entitled to their attorney's fees for successfully establishing discrimination.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Great result. Very interesting case.
Yeah.
You know,
great. Thank you.
I assume the client, the plaintiff, you call them, I guess, is happy with the decision, but just devastated still by the result of years of building a reputation And then, you know, this being a lifelong goal and then this happening to him, because I'm sure he doesn't have the job today and will not be getting a job.
That is absolutely true and is devastated by that. That really was a lifelong dream since he was a kid. I mean, his father, the police captain in another Massachusetts town, would come home and, you know, have the squad car, and the kid is playing in the squad car. And it was all about the police growing up, and that was his life, and it had been his life forever. And this dream was taken away permanently because of the defamatory statements, because it went out. It's now, of course, on the internet. All the, you know, once it goes into the media, it's on the internet, and you Google this person.
Every time he applies,
part of the background check is, hey, let's just Google him and see what comes up. And this comes up with headlines about he's not forthcoming. And the text of the article is about the criminal charge. So after the press statements, and this appeared in the news articles, he applied to 50 or more jobs and did not get past the initial interview.
Not surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't practice his profession again. Forget reality. It's the reputation and online.
Right.
Any human resource director that's going to do a background check is going to push that resume to the side and not make it one of the primary ones.
Exactly. And I know that one of your maybe primary interests here with the Radio Entrepreneurs is to talk about issues of interest to the business community. I think a really important issue here and lesson is the fundamental one, that personnel decisions and matters stay within the company. You don't talk to third parties about personnel decisions. You certainly don't talk to the media about them. You simply say, it didn't work out, and we needed to move on to the next candidate.
You know, I do think it's important because in my line of work, working with entrepreneurs, they're constantly in a position where they're talking to after employees leave, to current employees, to ex-employees, to people calling for references, and I'm saying to them, you know, you got to be careful who you talk to. It's not about the person anymore. It's about you and the business that still exists, and how do you protect that business? And you're right, you have to be very careful, and entrepreneurs aren't always very careful about it because they're more concerned with what they perceive as building culture of their the existing organization.
Right, and you also, not only do you have to protect your business, but you have to, in doing so, you have to think about the person who's applied and their reputation. You know, defamation is alive and well, and if you go out and defame and disparage someone who's applied or been an employee, you harm their ability to pursue a career, you run a real risk of being sued for defamation, and that can be very expensive.
So, you know, employment laws are very complex, and one of the things I see is that entrepreneurs don't recognize how complex they are and how careful you need to be. I don't know if your case is one where the town or city was, you know, unaware that, you know, there wasn't a need to disclose the criminal charge because of the acquittal. But I see business owners making employment decisions where they just don't have an understanding of what the law is, what you can ask people in interviews. There's
right.
all sorts of do's and don'ts.
You need a very good human resources person to know the basics. And actually, the city did know. In this case, the city did know the law. And I think that's what led to partially led to this result. I didn't mention that the award against the city was punitive damages. So clearly the jury was very disturbed by how the city had handled this matter and imposed a heavy punitive damage award against the city.
I'd like to add on to what Mark said. You know, in most small businesses, they treat human resources like the old-fashioned country doctor, and that is one individual who does everything. And I don't think that really works. So I would tell you that in a lot of small businesses, human resources are not up on the laws. They don't spend their time studying the law. That it's even more important that before you do any kind of human resource decision, that you seek your counsel's opinion, who should be up on the laws, because human resources that I know are not up on the laws.
Yes, you're right. And that is important to have either in-house or outside counsel that your human resource director can consult with. What I see in my law firm and in other businesses is the human resource director is managing humans, and humans are incredibly complicated creatures. And there is drama every day with a different person.
Every day.
Every day. Something new. And it's not legal based. It's often just about managing people and their emotions. And that's what a human resource director is often doing. So they're not able to be the legal expert. They need to consult with a lawyer, and should, on significant matters like an application process or a hiring or firing decision.
So the mayor, any repercussions with the mayor? The mayor clearly made a bad decision, not to the benefit of the town. Has there been any repercussions that you know of?
The mayor is a former mayor. The mayor moved on before this matter. We brought suit, and she did not seek re-election. I don't know if that was connected at all. So there haven't been repercussions for her politically. She stepped down before all this, left the matter for the next.
Nick, when did these events occur that gave rise to the case, and how long was the case pending before you had a trial?
The articles appeared several years ago, and then we brought suit, and through trial was about 2 years, which is fairly typical. In fact, maybe it's average, but certainly there are many cases that go much longer, six years, before trial.
Depends on.
So it's a long process, as we all know who are in the legal business, and those who've had the experience going into litigation can be a long process.
This officer must have been really upset, because 2 years of legal bills aren't easy either. You really have to be determined that you have been wronged.
Well, this was on a contingency. So there are essentially two ways that lawyers get paid. One is on an hourly, where the person's got to pay you as you go.
Right.
The other is contingency, where the lawyer gets paid based on the result. If successful, the lawyer gets a percentage of the recovery. And this was a contingency case. So, but this officer was very respectful of our time. He wasn't abusing us as lawyers and pushing us to do more and more. We did a great job for him, but he was not feeling the pain along the way.
Nick, it's a great story. If somebody was interested in talking to you, learning more about Todd and Weld, how would they find you and the firm?
Well, you could go to our website, which is Todd and Weld LLP in Boston, and I'm on there, Nick Carter, and many other excellent lawyers. We're happy to talk to you anytime. Thank you.
I hope you're a better lawyer than you're a tennis player. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been talking with Nick Carter of Todd and Weld. Thank you, Nick. I had to stick that in the end.
I'll see you on the court, Jeffrey.
Yes, we will. And we have a lot of tennis players in the room today. Our producer used to own a tennis academy. Multiple schools.
I'm staying away from him. He's on my team.
I want to thank Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers as my co-host for this segment. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.